Welcome, travelers. We're aware that your journey was difficult, but prepare to have your questions answered, for you have been granted an audience with the Masters of Modern.
And welcome back to Masters of Modern. I am your host, Alex Kessler, here with my co-host, Ben Bateman.
What's going on, everybody?
We had Travis Wuhan. He was awesome. We talked about kind of a lot of metaphysical reasons than philosophical reasons that we play Magic the Gathering, but we went over, so we actually got extra content. So once again, similar how it's Larian Academy, when he was on, we had extra content. Here is a bonus episode. These are a bunch of cards that we got from the community and ourselves that we wanted to hear kind of what Travis Wu thought would be the coolest things to do with them. So we are doing that. So Travis is about to come on. And once again, thanks for Travis coming on to the podcast. We had a great time 2 weeks ago. And we'll see you guys at the end of the podcast.
Bye, guys. Speaking of ideas that we think are cool, we want to get into this next discussion.
Yep.
This is going to be called Speed Round Brewing with Travis Wu. Mm-hmm. We are gonna do 3 minutes, roughly, per card. 10 cards, and this is going to be the closeout to the show.
We have 8 cards that we sent Travis, and there's going to be 2 surprise ones that we got from Twitter post fact that we'll surprise everyone with, and we're all going to have to be on our toes before at that point.
Yeah, we'll do 3 minutes ish on a handful, and then at the end, if you know, maybe tweets in at us, we'll throw you quick 1-word answers on a couple cards. But I'm assuming you probably have experience with a lot of these, and if not. Mm-hmm. We'll just talk them down for a minute. This should be a lot of fun. So I'd say we get right into it. Kessler, what is our first card for Travis? I'm gonna say it is. Any 3, 2, 1, go.
All right, Mystical Teachings.
Mystical Teachings is a card that did it win the Pro Tour? It's a Guillaume Wafatapa card. It's a good control card. You can use it to get Ad Nauseam, Angel's Grace. It's just a good card. It's a common, I believe, which makes it even better.
Yeah, it's a pauper staple right now.
Flashes back for 6.
It's a lot of mana. I don't really play control in Modern too much. I don't know. This card doesn't get me so excited. It's a good card, clearly, and I'm glad that it exists, but I don't have much to say. It's established that it's good. I don't need to prove that to anyone.
Yeah, well, I mean, Teachings is very good. It's the sort of thing where Teachings is not as much a build around me weird card where it's like, this is this weird, unique effect. It's like it's a tutor. I mean, it is unique that it's instant speed and it gets any instant. I mean, that there's not a lot of cards that do that. So, but in terms of in a format like Modern, the kind of thing that you'd be wanting to get, you don't usually want to spend 4 mana to get it. If you're going to do that, it's like you kind of just use gifts in a different way. Gifts and Given is kind of like the easier way to go about doing that.
I could definitely, I mean, we've talked about before, I'm a big fan of tutor packages, but I could see Grixis decks right now, Grixis control decks playing a 1 or 2 of is just like a I need that one answer this one time for this one deck because Modern has so many of these. It could be helpful, or especially a sideboard package. All right.
You know, I don't so much see decks playing Mystical Teachings. I see players, human beings who like that card and happen to own it playing it. And if that's you, I encourage you.
I mean, for the record, what you're saying with Grixis, like, you do hit your land drop. So the fact that you could get a dispel for 4 mana just and have a counterspell is solid.
Right.
And then it sits there until you hit 7 and you get another dispel. I mean, I don't know. It's something. It's not my favorite, but it is an interesting card. People have built around it.
All right, number 2, and this is a new card. Molten Vortex. This is from Sean Richardson.
That's the baby Seismic Assault?
Yes.
Okay.
It's a baby Seismic Assault. It's not as high upside with the free activation, but I think it's still a sweet and powerful card. I saw a list in Modern that used Molten Vortex for Seismic Assault 5 through 8, played Commune with the Gods to find any enchantment and to search for life from the loam as well. And a heavy land shell. So, I've already seen a Modern list with Molten Vortex that looks quite good.
That's spicy. You just did kind of a 40 land dot deck challenge, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was in there. There were a few Molten Vortex lists that looked promising. Again, it's not as broken as Seismic Assault, but Seismic Assault is crazy, so it doesn't need to be as good to be a worthy.
Do you think that it fits into decks like, I mean, Burn obviously is faster than this card, so you don't want it as a, you don't want to be drawing it in burn, but as like a two of in a burn deck where mid game or something, if you have to go a little longer, it gives you some extra ammunition, or do you think it's just too slow?
I could imagine if I was playing a burn deck and I had Molten Vortex in my sideboard, if I was playing against an opponent who was going to draw the game out really, really long and but wasn't going to gain life, then I was sure it could be a good sideboard card there.
Maybe you played against like a Grixis deck. You play it against the control deck that's going to try to one for one you on counter spells probably.
Yep. Yeah, if the game goes really long, it can do 4 or 6 damage for one card if you draw three extra lands.
All right, next card, number 3. This is from Stephen Ledger. And I realize we didn't shout out Nick Canner, who gave us number 1 Mystical Teachings, but Stephen Ledger gave us Artificer's Intuition.
Oh, sweet. I love that card. For anybody that doesn't know, because it's very obscure, I think it's from Darksteel. It's blue enchantment, 1 blue, 1 colorless. I believe its ability is 1.
It's Survival of the Fittest for 1 drop artifacts, correct?
Does it activate for 1 colorless or 1 blue?
I have no idea. I think it's 1 blue.
It's either 1 blue or it's 1 colorless. Discard an artifact card with converted mana cost 1 or less. Search your library for another artifact with converted mana cost 1 or less and put it into your hand. Or is it discard
an
artifact
card? Any artifact card, but you have to get a 1 mana cost artifact from your deck.
Okay. That's how it works.
All right, so Travis, what kind of deck would play this?
Man, well, there was a good one, actually. I don't know if you've heard of it, but since as Divining Top has since been banned.
Okay.
You use Artificer's Intuition to dig up Sensei's Divining Top and Locket of Yesterdays.
Oh, yeah.
Two 1-mana enchantments, and you can loop Sensei's Divining Tops on top of your deck and get Infinite Storm that way. Since that has been banned, I'm not really sure the best way to use it. You could fill your graveyard up with Lotus Blooms and then play... open the vaults or something like that.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. 6 mana, so, get all artifacts into play. I don't hate this as a sideboard option, the lantern decks that are out there, as kind of a like card draw engine to make sure you get the lantern pieces you may need. And it also lets you kind of do some fun things with Pithing Needles and other one cost artifacts. I mean, like people have always said, every single set that comes out that has a 1-drop artifact in it makes Trinket Mage better in the format, and this card is in that same family of cards.
There are some cool 1-mana artifacts, yeah. I mean, certainly, it's the problem really with this just becomes the artifact lands are banned except for Darksteel Citadel, so that's an issue. You really would want to have artifact lands you could get, and then the second part of it is that it's too slow relative to the things that it goes up against, and too restrictive in the things that it can get. It's just you don't have a wealth. You have like cards like Brittle Effigy, which is like a 1-mana artifact that's powerful, but it's not really powerful enough.
I think what this card would need is something like Vengevine. That's what blue Survival of the Fittest over the top.
Yeah.
You need a artifact that you can discard and maybe even a 1-drop that you can get back somehow from your graveyard conveniently.
Mirror Moon Servant.
Yeah, I remember that card.
You get a bunch of these mirrors that jump into the battlefield. If you can do something with 4/1s.
Yeah, I mean, you could, you'd have to have, like, Dread Return. It's not legal.
Many banned cards that would make this card so much better.
Salvage Titan.
We play...
Salvage Titan. You get free Salvage Titans in the play.
We play a format sometimes, Travis, called Highlander Roulette, which is essentially... It's essentially just, like, 100-card singleton with only legal cards that have ever had a foil version printed, and you have to make 6 decks in a wheel with no repetitious cards. So you have 600 unique cards, and it's a casual format. But it's fairly competitive, and I had a 69 land or 70 land deck that was trying to play this card, and I remember some engine to get like an infinite something or I was trying to get Mycosynth Lattice, I think, with something to like Karn Silver Golem their whole board, or Shattering Spree every permanent on their board or something. But anyway, I digress. All
right. Next card, number 4, and this is from Ziggy Nix, Xur's Weirdling.
Oh yeah, that card's weird. No
point in So, yeah, basically what this card does is it stops both players from drawing cards for
2 life, right?
Yeah, for as long as you have 2 life to pay. So I actually recently played this card as part of a lock piece with Enduring Ideal. Once Enduring Ideal is going, if you have like a Dovescape to lock down their non-creature spells, and then you get a Xur's Weirding, you can lock their draw step. And then maybe like a Honden to gain life, and then you just have the game won at that point. So that's one way to use it. But this card actually has seen a lot of play over the history. It's been around a long time. And If you're an aggressive deck, it actually is a pretty good topper in an aggro deck, because if you have more life than them, you can just pay life. Yeah, skip, they can't draw, and you just keep attacking, and they can't afford to pay for you to not draw. So it's actually a pretty versatile card.
It's like blue and three colorless for an enchantment. I was printed Mirage originally. Is that right?
I'm not sure. In the
it would be Ice Age originally. Because Xur was, Xur was reprinted in Cold Snap. Yeah.
Can we talk about that card? Did anybody submit that? Xur the Enchanter?
Someone did. We could talk about that. Yeah. I'll add that as one of number nine. Xur the Enchanter. And whoever the Twitter person is, shout out that we didn't write your name down.
Well, I also submitted it. I was just kidding.
Okay.
I just think that card's sweet. You have any ideas with that one, Travis?
Yeah. It's just a sweet card. I haven't actually played with it, but I mean, it's just sweet. You turn it sideways and you grab whatever.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's four. It's for anybody who doesn't know, it's Esper mana and a colorless for a flying 1/4 legendary wizard, I believe. It's a rare from Cold Snap that states, whenever Xur the Enchanter attacks, you may search your library for an aura card, converted mana cost 3 or less, and put it onto the battlefield, I think. Unless I'm misremembering it.
No, but not aura, any kind of enchantment. So you can get Oblivion Rings and Detention Spheres.
Yeah, that card's sweet. It's just cool. It's a weird picture. I'm sure the foil version of that picture of that card is worth a lot of money.
Because it's a commander. It's like one of those like top tier commander decks that no longer see play because people get annoyed that you're playing a commander deck that's too good. Blah 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 blah.
I did see it in a modern list. I can't remember what was in the list, but because it's a 1/4, obviously it has 4 toughness, makes it playable. Yeah.
All right,
people play it, and it's good in modern.
All right, so let's move on from Destiny giving cards. Number five, Duskmantle Guildmage. This is actually from Ben Bateman. We each got to put a card on here. So Ben got, this is his one card, even though he kind of shooed in his Xur card as well.
And we all know that I really wanted to say Grand Architect, but we've talked about it at length on this podcast.
Yeah, no, we're not talking about that card. All right, so Travis Wu, Duskmantle Guildmage.
It's a combo with Bloodchief Ascension. That's the main thing that comes to mind.
And Mindcrank. Mindcrank's the easier combo.
Yeah, or Mindcrank or whatever, yeah. I mean, yeah, I've played against that in Modern, and it's pretty sweet. I'm not going to say that there's a better way to use it than that.
My thought was always, because I always had for the longest time, I thought that combo was more viable than people gave it credit for, because it's a two-carder. The problem is Mindcrank is so bad on its own, you just don't want to have to play it. Also, this card is bad on its own, because it's a bear with abilities that are totally irrelevant unless you're trying to combo.
Lost for the game-winning ability.
Yeah, but I was going to say, the other angle was, like, for the longest time, I tried building a basic mill deck, just a tap-out mill deck, and I could never quite get it over the top, and I remember thinking to myself, when this card was printed, like, what if you made some sort of, like, transformative slash hybrid mill deck with, like, Jace's Phantasm, this card, and Hedron Crabs and Glimpse the Unthinkables, because as soon as this guy's down, you activate the 3-mana ability, then every Hedron Crab activation becomes Lightning Bolt, and like all of a sudden Glimpse is like 10 damage. Like if you can just get this guy live and activate the 3-mana ability, it seems like you could just close out the game really quick.
No? Yeah, it's a bit mana intensive, but it definitely, yeah, it's interesting for that. It would be interesting for that, definitely.
Yeah.
All right, number six. This is from V is for Vincent. Vincent, who is actually a friend of the cast.
Yeah.
He asked, Painter Servant.
Oh, yeah, that's a weird one.
Yeah, actually, I played with Painter Servant today online. I played in the forest, and I played with Painter Servant online. With Woodland Bellower, I've got a deck. This is
sweet.
Barely competitive.
That's the new 6-drop green creature from Magic Origins that lets you search out for a 3 or less converted mana cost green creature.
So if you have Painter's Servant in play on green, Woodland Bellower is a 6/5 and searches up Phantasmal Image, which copies Woodland Bellower, which searches up Phantasmal Image, etc. until you have 5 Woodland Bellowers in play. And then you finish off with a Hellraiser Goblin, which gives your guys haste. Oof. And you attack. Yeah. So I think that Painter's Servant is obviously vulnerable to Lightning Bolt, but so is Pestermite, so is Dark Confidant. It doesn't rule it out for me. The way to really abuse this, I think, is with Aether Vial. There's two ways. First of all, Aether Vial works well because you can sneak it in and they have to fight on your turn. You can wait till they tap out. And
right.
Summoner's Pact finds any creature. Summoner's Pact finds Simeon Spirit Guide. It can find a Burning Tree emissary or a priest of Urabrask to dump off Ethervile, and you get to 6 mana very easily that way to win out of nowhere. And then the rest of the cards in your deck are just, you know, reasonably costed creatures. Whittle and Bellower is a titan on its own that grabs Eternal Witness. So I think this is, you know, I've played with Painter's Servant a bit in Modern, but this is the best Painter's Servant. It feels legit that Painter's Servant is actually so reasonably playable now. You know, not tier deck, but...
Right. What are some of the decks that deck would have a problem with? That sounds insane, really powerful.
I don't know. I don't really think, like...
Seems kind of weak to Hand Disruption, doesn't it? Just early Hand Disruption, because you're stuck with a 6-drop and no way to get it out.
I don't necessarily want to get into the it's bad against this, it's bad against that conversation. I mean, okay. That's not my... I'm not really motivated by fear of bad things happening to me.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Fair enough.
Putting decks together. And as far as what the actual answer, if we get into the argument of how do you beat this, how do you beat that, it's in a green-blue creature shell with Ethervile, so it's just going to be resilient. I don't know. I mean, you just can beat down with creatures, Noble Hierarch, Eternal Witness, and again, if you are just left with the Woodland Bellower at the end of the day, grabbing an Eternal Witness, that's pretty good.
I definitely had the same thought. I remember before it was legal and Chapin was doing a whole podcast with Flores about the power of Woodland Bellower, and Servant came to mind for me as the first thing to pair it with, just because it's specifically green. But it definitely, you know, you have to jump through some hoops. So anyway, let's get to the next card.
All right. So number 7, this is from me, Sundial of the Infinite.
Oh yeah. I built around this before.
Okay. So my first thought of this is, here's an insane play. I'm on the play and I say go, and you're like, okay, I play my 1-drop or whatever, and I go end of the turn, Pact of the Titan, Simeon Spirit Guide, Snapcaster Mage, Pact of the Titan, maybe play another Pact of the Titan, why not? Untap Angel's Grace, I don't have to play Pacts this turn, attack you. So that's dependent on drawing Angel's Grace, but if you have Sundial of the Infinite, it's kind of like a backup Angel's Grace, so I'd be interested in using it to skip Pact triggers.
There's like a lot of cool stuff you can do with Sundial, like that sort of thing. There's also Unearth is a super, super interesting ability because it triggers an end step. So anything that comes back off Unearth, you just end the turn in your second main phase. Any creature that has like a really, really bad Enter the Battlefield trigger, like Eater of Days or Hunted Horror, you can do it in response to that, and that's pretty interesting. It's not legal in Modern, but if anybody who plays EDH or anything like that, that 100-card format, I was trying to build a deck that played Sundial of the Infinite with Final Fortune on Isochron Scepter.
What, infinite turns?
Yeah, exactly. So there's cool stuff with that card. That's a really, really unique card.
Well, and for people that don't know what it does, because we forgot to say it, it's a 2-mana artifact that for 1 mana, you can tap it to just end your turn, and then anything on the stack is exiled. So you can, in response to any negative triggers or anything like that, you can just end your turn, and you no longer have to worry about that trigger. So, like, one of my favorite things to do in history's past was Geist with Sundial, because you get to keep the angel after combat damage every turn.
Seems sweet. Let's keep going.
All right, so number 8, Eidolon of Blossoms.
Either way, it's the enchantress that every person forever wanted printed, right? It's the enchantress that replaces itself and then is just sweet. But, I mean, it's only 1 more mana than a normal enchantress, right?
It's okay. My brother and I used to play with Argothian Enchantress and Enchantress's Presence, which were pretty insane.
Yeah, for sure.
Because they couldn't be targeted by removal. And Eidolon of Blossoms, you know, can be weak to Lightning Bolt and so on. It is a sweet card. It draws cards, and everybody likes to draw cards. If I were to play it in Modern, I would, I don't know, put it next to Sigil. You could put it next to, you could play an Assault Formation deck. You go Sylvan Caryatid into Worship. It works really well with Greater Auromancy. It gives Eidolon of Blossoms Shroud, so they can't kill it. And then, I don't know, you can draw more cards. Back in the day when you drew more cards, what you could do is use Words of Wind and stuff like that.
Yeah, so sweet. I had an Enchantress deck, a casual one that used to do that. There's a lot of... Sometimes I just wish that I don't know, Modern was actually just Legacy with like a 100-card ban list, because there's a lot of those cards from like Masks era and like Onslaught that are just interesting and cool, but like don't feel like they're ridiculous. Like they could totally be legal. It's just a shame that like there's this huge portion of, you know, cards that we would love to play in Modern, we just can't, and they're never going to get played in Legacy because they're not powerful enough. Anyway, do we have any more, Kessler? Do we have any tweet-ins? Oh my God, I have to ask. Oh, well, I'll save it. I'll save it for last. I have one card I have to ask you about, but I'll let Kessler go first.
Why don't we do, how about Doubling Season?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I had played that in Modern and had a lot of fun. Obviously, the combo, the best combo is with Jace, Architect of Thought.
Because it just gets another Jace, right?
It gets another Jace, and it gets the best card from their deck. It's kind of similar to the Whittle and Bellower combo. Instead of chaining Whittle and Bellowers, you're chaining Jaces and cards from their deck. Yes, and then you can,
sweet.
The last card you pull is like a Time Warp, and then you kill them with their four best cards they have.
Yeah, that's so sweet. I mean, Doubling Season is just one of those cards that it's five mana, so it's very, the cost is super prohibitive for Modern, but it's just insanity, right? Like, I mean, there's, if you resolve that card, there's a billion crazy things you can do with it.
Yeah, it's, I mean, there is a lot more you can do than Jace, but that's the one that's like the win combo. And then Jace is okay on its own. When Young Pyromancer was more popular than Gurmag Angler, the plus ability was really good. Jace isn't necessarily so good now, but, you know, it's a decent card on its own as well, which is always important.
Right. I mean, like right now we're not in a world where 1/1 tokens are kind of dominating, though we were in that world a couple months ago, and who's to say we're not going to end up back in that world based off of what's printing in the future.
We might be shifting back. I mean, it seemed like the biggest reason that you shifted from Jund back, or from Abzan to Jund, was because Kolaghan's Command seemed like it was the stone cold nuts, but it actually seems more now like Kolaghan's Command is actually better in Grixis than it is in Jund. So if you want to just play Kolaghan's Command, you just play Grixis, and Abzan is still better, I think. That's like what it seems like the shift has been.
Path
happening.
Is so much more important against cards like Tasigur, yeah, Gurmag Angler, exactly. Like, and Rhino, that like it definitely is important to have an answer to those, and red black green decks don't have that kind of answer versatility.
And Souls is just insane. I mean, Souls is just so good.
Yeah. All right, next card. And this will be the last one, Training Grounds.
Oh, freaking sweet. Got another bonus card.
I know you can combo off with it in Modern as well. You can use, is it Guild Mage and copy Metamorphoses and stuff like that, or you can Pack Rat for really cheap.
Yeah.
There's definitely some interesting things you can do with that.
There's an infinite mana combo with Filigree Sages and Kalni Gem that was legal in Standard at one point. That's like very loose, but it is infinite mana.
Yeah.
All right, so that's it for everyone on the internet and all the cool cards that we kind of want to talk about today. I do want to thank you, Travis. Can you tell everyone where to find you on the internet?
Yeah, Facebook and Twitter, Travis Wizard right now. Also on Facebook, I'm building and promoting these deck building groups. I've got two of them, Deck Building Wizardry and Magic Deck Crafting for Good. If you type that in the top bar on Facebook, Magic for Good and Deck Building Wizardry. Those are good places to post your deck lists. And yeah, so.
Could you really quick talk about kind of what those two things are, what those two groups are? And what?
Yeah, those groups are for a place to post decks and get feedback and give feedback, and where it's kind of intentionally productive, positive environment.
Okay. Great. That's wonderful. That's definitely something. I mean, I know a lot of the people, we get a lot of deck lists, so it's definitely a good place for everyone to kind of go and get good feedback. Thanks for kind of posting about where that would be. As always, you can find me at Kess Wiley on Twitter.
You can find me at Ben Bateman Media on Twitter and Instagram.
You can find the podcast, and please follow and tweet at us at the MMCast. And we are also, you know, I want to remind you guys to go check out our sister podcast, The Command Zone. They are also on rocketjump.com. They do awesome Commander content with Jimmy and Josh. And we will see you guys next week.
Yeah, check out some of our recent episodes and the upcoming ones, guys. We got some, like, we got really lucky or something, and like some really, really cool people like yourself and a few other pros seem to think that we're a worthwhile podcast to do. So check out some of the recent ones and the upcoming ones. There's also some kind of new developments in the works that I think you guys will like. So We will see you next week. And thank you again so much, Travis, for coming by and talking to us. This is
Thanks for having me. I hope that I was hope that I did a good job.
Yeah, you were great, man. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you for your attention. For further inquiries, send an email to the mmcast@rocketjump.com. See you later, alligator.